her mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They making plans, we sit and count. Our chair is stacking just like a mountain. You heard about it, she running her mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it.
All right, guys, well, we can put that to bed. It's all good. Everything's good.
Going to bed?
All good. You probably.
Oh, you're like,
did someone say bed?
No, I'm good. I just missed my walks. I really miss my walks.
What?
Between breaks.
Where you can just get up and walk around the property.
Go talk to the plants. Take in the scenes.
If I get you a plant and I put it out there, you could walk to the plant.
Do you talk to plants? Do you have plants?
I talk to the plants in my office, yes. They say it's very good for the plants.
Yes.
When I have gone on work trips and I have come back and no one has watered my plants, I will be like, did they leave you guys all alone? What the heck? You deserve so much better. Hold on, let me get you some classical music. And then I play classical music for the plants.
We got attacked by bugs in the house. Plants got... We had mother-in-law tongue. You know mother-in-law tongue? Everyone has mother-in-law tongue.
Well... Are we speaking about the plant?
The plant.
Or are we speaking about the exterior?
Is that another word for snake plant?
I don't think so.
I've got a snake plant. It could be mother-in-law.
It was infested with white little bugs. I don't know why. How do they get in the house?
Leave doors open?
No.
Any windows open?
There's no one there.
Well,
mystery.
You got a breach.
Really? In the wintertime?
Something. Or... They're like laying eggs or whatever it is they do. I'm not going to pretend to be a bug expert over
but
here.
But it was huge. It was a pot like 3 feet wide, mm-hmm. and the tongues were probably 4 feet high.
Yeah. If it is a snake plant, maybe it's a mother-in-law tongue. I've never heard that before. Certainly have experienced the mother-in-law tongue, but
yeah.
I don't think we're talking about the same thing here. It's supposed to be really good for air purification standpoint. Cleans the toxins out of the air.
Really?
They say that one snake plant in a room can like suck it all out.
Really?
Joshy?
I have about four of those in my house that I've had to split a couple times. I'm a big plant guy.
Because they get bigger and you're putting them
yes.
in new pots.
So they're detoxing your breath on like Saturday morning, Sunday morning? Is that what it's called?
I go and just breathe into the plant to try and help myself out.
Josh is over there motorboating his snake plant just to try to get all of the air
Parlor
purification.
Palms, also great.
Snake plant.
It is also known as the mother-in-law tongue.
Yeah,
so you were talking
the
about
thing.
The same thing.
Perfect.
Yeah.
That's
dead.
Great. Well, so your snake plant is dead because of the buggies?
Yes.
Ugh.
Dead. You know what I love the most?
Which is crazy because those are supposed to be very, very
hardy.
Both resilient
yes.
and hardy, yes. Gabe, are you feeling left out of this plant conversation currently?
Nope.
No, I love when I just stripe the lawn and my wife just
I suddenly feel like the youngest person in the room is what's happening. Like I'm suddenly feeling just a fountain of youth pouring over me as the old people just sit back and talk about their plants.
Ponce de Leon over here.
No, I love it when I just stripe the lawn and my wife just takes it and just throws it right into the middle of the lawn so all the dirt just dumps on my perfect lawn. I love that. It's really good for the grass. Mad
like,
at me because the bugs attacked her plant.
Like Kramer with his golf clubs? You want these?
Because
I don't want them. I stink.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks a lot. So, all right.
So you just got done thinking, oh, man, look at this lawn. That's poof.
You guys want to know something about how deep I've gone with the plant thing?
Yeah.
We had fungus gnats on a couple plants. I purchased online... beneficial nematodes to then you hatch them in water, it activates them, and then they are a healthy sort of bug or thing you put into a plant to then kill the issue and the eggs of the said I've gone deep.
Joshy, you've been holding out on us.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I can see why.
You have not been sharing during share time.
Well, didn't they bring the Japanese beetle over here to eat a certain bug, and it blew up, and it didn't work, and that's why we have Japanese beetles everywhere.
Huh.
It wouldn't be this the first
one,
time.
This
Japanese
is one of those things that,
the
like,
same as the ash borer, right? Japanese beetles are the little
in the house, they look, they're in the fall, everywhere. Brutal. Yes.
Yeah, they're ladybug dupes.
Yeah, yes. Exactly. My kids are like, look at the ladybugs. I'm like, back away. Mm-hmm.
They bite, too.
Oh, yeah.
They bite you.
Ooh, that's good to know, because I wonder if a couple of times my girls have woken up with bug bites on their bellies, and we've been like, what the heck? And we take the sheets and we throw them out and we're doing the carpet and everything. But the front of our house always, every year, gets the Japanese beetles. Mm-hmm. I wonder if that's it. I should ask the doctor.
Yeah, but you got dogs too, right?
But we took the dog in. That was the thing. The first thing we thought was like, oh no, dog got fleas, dog got ticks, dog got something. No, not the dog.
Okay. Could be.
I think you're getting it confused with something else. The Japanese beetle was first found in the United States in 1916 in New Jersey. As of 2015, just 9 western states of the United States were considered free of Japanese beetles. So
specifics don't matter to me, Gabe. It happened to some bug. I don't know which
it
one it was.
A bug.
But it was
I don't
bug.
Know.
It might be
all
Abbott's.
The bug.
I don't know.
Well, again, that's what makes you dangerous. You know just enough of the information, but not enough to paint the complete picture.
Correct.
And for a while, I caught your illness, because I would be telling stories and I'd be giving about 75% of it. And Josh was like, you know, we might want to put a pause on this. You're giving us about 75% of the details, but you've forgotten the rest. I said, well, that's because I hang out with Chewy as often as I do. I do think that if you Googled something along the lines of, what is the bug that was brought over from...
Yeah.
Where did you say it was brought over from, Chu? You don't know? Just somewhere?
Japan.
Well, I mean, he assumed the Japanese beetle from Japan. He could have gotten that information wrong, too.
But that's what I live by. Information is... What was my line?
Knowledge is knowledge.
Even if it's wrong.
Even if it's wrong.
See? 75%.
you only had 75% of your say. You created it.
I thought it was information for some reason. I don't know. And it's a Wednesday, which is weird.
Wednesday, what are you giving us on Wednesdays?
I'm usually out of my funk.
Okay.
But it's really a Tuesday for me.
Because you weren't here on Monday.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah. So,
how often are days just days to you? You're always, it's a Thursday, but it's actually a Friday. It's a Friday, but it's a Tuesday. It's never straightforward.
The question is...
This is Holmgren's fault.
So yes. The question is, how often is the day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, the actual day for you, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday?
Like next week it will be.
Next week's a regular week.
Yes.
Right, but what
well,
if we
except
have...
we're off Thursday.
What if
Why?
We
have...
It's a company holiday.
Oh, okay.
We have off Thursday?
Ah, that's the...
Yeah.
Cool.
Yep, leave it.
Okay. No, I'm just saying I don't know if that's a good day to have off.
Do we have to come back on Friday?
Unless you want to take a vacation
Can
day.
We trade it? Can I trade it? Can I come work Thursday and not work Friday?
How are you going to work Thursday if Jen, myself, and Joshy are all not here?
Right behind the glass.
Just a one-man band?
Yes.
God, the chaos that would ensue.
How long do you think Chewy could do a one-man show back here before he gave up on it?
45 seconds.
We'd have a lot of breaks. It'd be a lot of breaks.
No. I don't even think you could call the breaks. I don't even think you could pull them up. How would you roll them?
I have no idea.
He would accidentally hit the right button back there. There's a button that you can hit where the brake will fire.
Yeah.
And he would just start hitting all of them and accidentally, not realizing what he did, fire the brake.
I could get Will to come in.
Right? I hate how true that statement is.
Yeah.
I really don't like how true that is.
The Will and Chew show.
I'd give him a cut. I'd say, all right. Negotiate.
Cut of what?
Yeah, what are you giving him?
A cut of what?
Cut of your water?
Cut of
Usingers, hot dogs?
Ooh.
Do you ever get those out of the refrigerator, by the way?
Are they still here? I guarantee that.
I have not looked. I'll tell you what.
I'm going to Costco Thursday.
I will go during this break.
Okay.
I will go upstairs.
I've got bad news.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I didn't think they'd be here.
There was... the great people at Usingers brought us some brats, I believe, that were cooked, and I think...
No, it was the hot dogs, because Chewy loves the hot dogs.
Right, but we had another thing here where on one days they were like cooking them for us, and I think people incorrectly thought those were part of all the things they brought
of course
us,
they did.
And they got cooked as well.
We live in an office of locusts.
Let's be fair, They were here for about 2 months untouched.
Well, what should we have done? Should we have put Chewy's name on them?
Should we have probably labeled "Do not touch."
Yeah,
yeah, that's probably on us.
I think it would have been even smarter to put Chewy's name on it. Chewy's hot dogs, do not touch. Because the do not touch has some power.
Yeah.
But if you attach Mark Chmura's name to it, I feel like it's a hands-off situation.
The fear.
Why are you skeptical? Look at you. You're thinking that somebody's messing with the Chewy hot.
I'm telling you this right now. You put do not touch, that means jack squat.
Which is why I'm saying you have to add the addendum of these are Chewy's.
Well, and if there's somebody for, you know, marketing person or salesperson for TMJ who's not listening to us, doesn't see Chewy for however long he's down in Florida, probably think he doesn't even work here anymore and snipe him anyway.
Didn't even if Chewy didn't work here, I wouldn't touch something of his in the refrigerator.
Yeah, because you know Chewy. Well, actually, you still would. Because,
didn't they put
he's
a camera in there?
There is a camera in the
cafe.
In the cafe now, yes.
How far does it shoot?
I haven't seen what it covers. I would assume it covers all of the cafe.
It covers the fridge it was located in.
I've seen Josh be scared by this.
Okay.
Because when all the lights are off in there, it's motion sensing and it has a little light.
Spotlight, yeah. I'm just putting my lunch in the fridge, but I look like a criminal because there's just me, spotlight, entering the fridge with my little Tupperware.
They should live stream it. I'd watch it, actually.
Of course you would.
Just
you
know? Live stream.
Yeah.
I don't think they want to do that because they would become aware and have to address the amount some people find themselves standing in that cafe around the office.
Really?
Oh, you mean as opposed to working?
Yes.
How did we get here?
There's some people I see there quite frequently, and I'm there once a day. If I see you every time I'm here, we can't just be on the same schedule, because I go at all different times.
I may need that live stream at some point. Be very helpful for the case. This is Jen Game and Chewy. I don't know how we got where we are, but that's pretty standard.
We're
for
loose.
Us.
We're stretched out.
I started
out.
Wanting to talk about
maybe
Brian
a little too
Gutekunst.
Loose. We ended up. Joshy was throwing some teammates, not by name, under the bus.
They know who they are. You know how mall rats? We got cafe rats.
What if they could be working in the cafe?
Nope.
Did we open up a food arm of GKB that I'm unaware of, that they're just making food all the time?
There are clearly people who bring their computer into that area and are working.
Yeah.
Some holding up the counter.
We just don't know what phase of their day they are in. So if you're in the creative phase of your day, sometimes listen, I'm working here, okay? Let me cook. Sometimes you need to, you know, walk around a little bit, change the scenery a little bit, get the creative juices flowing. Maybe that's what the cafe rats are doing. Wow, cafe rats. Not something I thought I'd be saying this morning on the radio. I want to talk about Brian Gutekunst, who yesterday talked about Jair and the health of the cornerbacks and the state of the cap for the Green Bay Packers. All of those things should give you a pretty good idea, whether you like it or not, of the direction / urgency that the GM of the Green Bay Packers feels right now about his roster. We'll talk about that right after this here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
With a dedicated Milwaukee team, Fifth Third Bank knows what success looks like. For 15 years, they've been serving businesses, organizations, and individuals in the area with a longstanding commitment to the healthcare and not-for-profit sectors. Whether it's expansion to commercial payments, Fifth Third offers a full suite of financial services and solutions to navigate your organization's complex needs. Experience the difference with Fifth Third Bank National Association. Custom solutions built around your goals. Member FDIC.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
So overrated.
Come on, his head is a pumpkin.
Yeah, he's so right. Chewy's never been more right
Ed
about anything.
Sheeran.
Chewy was right. Yeah. Holy Chewy was right.
Yeah. Imagine the helmet on that dome. It'd be the first 8.5 size.
It's just,
what the?
On 94.5 ESPN.
Said a lot of things yesterday. I got a sound sheet here in front of me that Joshy puts together with all the money cuts. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
All right, let's hear what he spewed.
All right, going in up. You're going in, giving him the benefit of the doubt.
Should be entertaining.
Okay. All right, so Brian Gutekunst yesterday was asked about Jair Alexander, obviously a day after they cut him. Joshy, you tell me where we start here, because we got a lot of stuff. We could just like roll through it, but I want to know what you think is the most revealing thing that Brian said yesterday about Jair and the salary cap and the cornerback room.
Well, I've got bad news. The two best ones aren't working. I got to upload them.
Oh, boy.
I've got some other sounds here. This one might be interesting. This is about the return on investment, and I thought Brian Gutekunst had an interesting quote on this.
Yeah, well, again, I think, you know, over the last 4 years, you know, there's been a lot of games missed. And I just think for what that amount of money is, I think that's a lot to pay for a guy who hasn't been able to get out on the field. Again, it's not his fault. It's just something that kind of transpired. So we just kind of were looking for something different.
See, he was great until the last part. Yes, it is his fault. He wouldn't play unless he was 100%. If he just left that out, that was wonderful. He didn't need to put in the last part.
That it wasn't his fault.
That it was. It was his fault.
Right. I'm saying the part where he said it wasn't his fault.
Yes. He should have said, I expect players to play, not injured, but hurt, which may be 93% or so.
Do you say that out loud?
Murphy would.
Just all because right. Mark Murphy would say something out loud doesn't mean.
Where do we want to exist on the spectrum?
That's why Jason said he's really going to miss Murphy.
Yeah, we're going to miss Murphy because, yes, maybe Murphy would say that, but I don't know if the president of an organization should say that.
Because he was spot on. He's right. Dude got paid a lot of money and he didn't play, so he's got to go.
I think it's the fairest, safest way to spin the situation. I think, and I'm not saying spin like it's a version of the truth or it's a manipulation of the truth, but the best way to explain why Jair is no longer on the team is he wasn't available as often as the team needed him. That they were not on the same page from an availability standpoint. We need you X number of games. You gave us Y number of games. The disparity between X and Y was too great. The end. Right?
Yeah.
But I do think that the next thing, Joshy, that you have on this sheet here about the deal that they offered Jair and whether or not it was fair, I think this is very interesting. Take a listen to this.
Yeah, I'm not going to talk about the contract stuff, but whether we did or didn't offer anything, it was just something that I think there were conversations. And again, I think that wasn't something they wanted to do. And at the end of the day, we kind of had to really kind of look and see if that was really what we wanted to do as well.
Okay, so it wasn't fair.
Of course.
Yeah, right.
Or was there even a deal?
I mean, there were reports that they put a deal in front of him. Like, the whole timing of the whole thing after Goody spoke yesterday just has me questioning a lot of different things. Like, why did you wait this long? After no deal came together, if what you just said is true, why did you wait until the eve before mandatory minicamp, the last thing of the offseason, to release him? Like, why did you wait that long? After all these deals potentially fell through, because we knew the Bills were interested. Jordan Schultz over at Fox Sports said that, but they didn't want to pay full freight, understandably so. They didn't want to pay the $17 million for Jair this year. Like, why did this drag out so long? Why was this so dramatic in the way that they handled this? Because, again, we thought at the beginning of the offseason, oh, Jair's gone. Well, maybe Jair's not gone. Maybe Jair's not gone. Maybe Jair's not gone. And like every checkpoint that we hit, he was still here until earlier this week.
I thought the understanding was that was because they thought that maybe if they played nice and made it seem like the Packers, a well-respected organization, were still interested in having Jair on their roster, that might drive up external interest. Right? Wasn't that the whole play there? The whole idea of, look, we are done with this dude. But we can't tell the world that we're done with this dude, because then why would anyone else trade for Jair? Why wouldn't they just wait until the contract, or until they cut him, rather, and he's available for us to pick him up? So to me, that was all posturing. For me,
but
it was...
But it's bad posturing.
Maybe, but that's what I think, that's what was motivating the behavior. That's what was motivating the, bring it in. We love you so much. We're hoping we can figure out a deal. But I think, Chewy, that was for the rest of the league.
Yeah, probably. I would have went about it a different way. I would have just had a heart to heart with him.
Hello.
And said, all right, here's the deal. Okay, you're on the backside of your career here. You're looking for one more payday. We're going to give you guaranteed $6 million. And then we're going to incentivize it with the amount of games you played. But I'm going to tell you this, Jair. If you wind up playing four games, no one's going to touch you in this league. This would be 3 years where you played a minimal, you know. No one's going to sign you. I'm giving you an opportunity with a fair contract to go out and ball out, and there's a good chance you're not going to be here next year. But if you play good enough, someone will sign you to a deal. If you play four games, your career is over. And then left it at that. So you chew on that for a while. Make your decision whether you want it or not. He either would have been PO'd or he would have signed the deal. But there is value. There is value. He is a good player. When he's on the field, he's probably a top 10 corner in this league.
Yep.
Has there been a single person, though, that has disagreed with that?
No.
Again, Jason talked to somebody in the building, right? Rob has talked to people in the building. And the response was, yeah, he's still good when he's out there.
When
That's
he's
the
out
caveat.
There. Yes. But the problem with this team, Jen, and we said it a million times, it lacks superstars. And when he plays, he's a superstar.
Which,
on
by the way,
team.
Chu, to be honest with you, that dynamic, that lacking of superstars across the board, is probably why this was so important for the Green Bay Packers to have him out there.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was a superstar,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
But you whittle down your superstar-ness when you're not on the field, right? Your locker room presence can only go so far, right?
Sure.
The thought of Jair Alexander, the threat of Jair can only go so far. So that to me is why it put even more pressure and made this even more of a powder keg, because they needed him on the field because they don't have a lot of superstars at the other's positions. I want to go to this comment by Abdo on the YouTube stream. Remember, you can always stream Jen, Gabe, and Chewy on the ESPN Milwaukee YouTube page and react to the show. If he was released earlier, he would definitely be on the Lions or another team by now. Any belief in that? That had the Packers yeah. released him earlier, it allows him to catch on with a team and then go through yeah. all of their mini camps.
I don't think you want to be spiteful because that hurts you down the line.
But there was no rush.
Right? But if they did this out of spite,
yeah.
like, oh, bleep you, man, we're going to do this and mm-hmm. try to screw you over, like, that gets around the league and that makes it harder to deal with in signing free agents.
See, I think it was...
Or getting guys to stick around. Yeah. Like, oh, they wanted to stick to Jair? No, I don't want to deal with this guy.
Speaking about around the league, there's another point to add to that. Any logic of keeping him around and holding out hope for a trade falls apart when you hear that the Bills around the draft tried to acquire him, to which Jair said, I'm unwilling to change my contract. So he was given permission to seek trades across the league. Every team he contacted... I'm sure asked.
Balked at the number.
Right. Yep. What are we going to do with this contract? And then when he told them, it is what it is, it won't be changed, Brian Gutekunst and company had to look around and go, well, then we're stuck. Because what are we going to do? Are we holding on hope that he changes his mind? Because if that's it, then that's pretty weak, honestly. I understand doing your due diligence and writing it out and maybe him coming to the realization no one's willing to pay him the number that he's going to be cut at. Like, push came to shove, he wasn't changing his contract, and that seems to be the matter of fact of it.
Yeah, no, he wasn't going to change his contract unless the Packers made him.
Right.
I think it was low, but it wasn't low, really low, because if it was low, embarrassingly low, he would have said, screw you right away. So my feeling is he went out and shopped it, and teams are like, they're going to cut you anyway, so why do we want to take on this deal, and then we'll sign you to our own deal.
Yeah,
and
without giving up any sort of compensation.
Yeah, because if that was like, we guarantee $1 million, he would have been like, screw you, I'm out of here. Right there.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that they gave him time to go out and shop it and no one took it is like, okay.
On the low spectrum, Chew, if the window is over here and the wall is over here, where is it from the window to the wall?
4.
Sorry, I'm the only one who got the low.
I got it. Thing. I got it. And the next lyrics that follow are not something we can say on the radio.
I didn't say the next lyrics. I was just saying
that's where everyone's mind went.
Yeah, I mean,
low.
You decided to put a ball in the tee and hope that Chewy wouldn't
from
hit
the window to the wall.
I thought Chewy. There was a no singing policy. No,
I thought you have broken that policy many times.
So it was low. Is that 3 or 4?
Don't worry about
low.
It.
Oh,
let's move on.
Get off my back.
You think he knew the next line of that song?
No, but when he finds out, he's going to be really mad we didn't say it.
What are you talking about? I was really good at lumbar or whatever that was.
Limbo. Maybe they called it lumbo.
They took away limbo. There is no more limbo, though.
Adam Schefter's waiting. I'm turning you guys off. We're going to break. Adam Schefter next.
Everyone's go-to source for all NFL news.
And we're going to get right to some breaking news here that just came down. This tweet from Adam Schefter.
Adam's on the phone. Adam, yeah, you have more news? What do you got?
They're going with another move.
And here is the man who knows all, Adam Schefter.
It's ESPN NFL insider Adam Schefter.
It's always hard to beat a team three times in one season. It just is. I wouldn't be surprised if they meet again, and I wouldn't be surprised if Green Bay is in that game and Green Bay has a chance to win that game.
Adam Schefter on JGC is sponsored by Island Resort and Casino, gaming, casual, and fine dining. Two golf courses, a luxury spa, and live entertainment. Your total experience is at the Island.
Let's get right to it with our pal, Adam Schefter. Good morning, Adam. How are you doing today?
Hello there, Jen. How you doing? I'm in the new Hudson Yard Studios for the first time. We're trying to get everything figured out, like where the bathrooms are, where the Starbucks are, how to get on Wi-Fi. It's a whole big onboarding process here.
No, those the Starbucks is the Starbucks is the most important of those three, right?
Bathroom, Starbucks, and Wi-Fi. I mean, it's a triple crown.
What else you need in life, right?
Although the Starbucks does contribute to the need of the bathroom and all of that. It's like
the circle
chicken,
of life.
The chicken and the egg thing. Let's get right to the Jair Alexander situation. He is no longer a member of the Green Bay Packers. What is the market for him now? Do you see him landing with another team anytime soon?
Look, I think that when you're a player, you don't agree to refuse to restructure your deal unless you have an idea of what your market is and whether you think you can get fair value. Now, I don't know that he thinks he's going to get the money that he would have made in Green Bay, but at the very least, I think he feels like he's going to put himself in a spot where he'll be utilized well, where he'll be on a one-year deal, and where he'll have the opportunity to hit the free agent market again after the 25 season in the 26 free agent class and have the ability then to really cash in. So if I'm Jair Alexander today, what I'm thinking is I want to go put myself in a great defense with a great organization. I really don't know what team that is, but Baltimore, Pittsburgh, Detroit. Again, I'm throwing teams out there. You're not going today to Tennessee, I don't think. You know, you're not going to one of these AFC South teams. You're going to go to a perennial contender with a strong defense that will have the ability to showcase your talents, and then you hopefully have a great year and parlay that into a big deal in the free agent market in 26.
Well, what do you think that number will be, Adam, the one-year deal?
I don't think it'll be as high as people think.
Really?
I think there'll be some incentives in there. A lot of teams don't have a lot of money at this time of the year. You know, you wait to June 11th. A lot of teams have allocated their cap space in dollars, so you reduce the field right there. And I think he's going to be selective in picking in the team he chooses. I do.
What do you think is going to be more important, the competition or the money?
A combination of the both, to be honest with you. I think the money will probably be pretty similar, and I think the deciding factor will be an organization that gives him a chance to shine this upcoming season.
Adam Schefter hanging out with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy here. So it sounds like Brian Gutekunst feels very confident in the cornerbacks who remain. I am less confident, but we shall see, right? We got a lot of time for them to get up to par, get up to the production level that we need them to do. What else is moving around the league? We saw the Terry McLaurin news. We saw the TJ Watt news. We obviously have been paying close attention to what's going on with the Bengals. Do you see Trey Hendrickson getting moved yet? I know this is my pipe dream and the guys have told me to let it go, but I just can't quit him yet.
Well, I don't see him getting moved. And again, we're talking about teams not having the money for Jair Alexander, who will be a pittance compared to what it would be for Trey Hendrickson in an exploding pass rush market. We've seen huge deals given out this offseason for Max Crosby, Danielle Hunter, Myles Garrett. And you're going to see at some point Trey Hendrickson get another deal. Could there be a team that trades from at some point? Sure, that always exists. I just think it's a hard deal to pull off where you have to compensate the Bengals and you have to compensate the player. Not a simple thing to do. Not that it can't be done, it can. Khalil Mack, I believe, was traded in September after he sent a strong message where he didn't show up all summer. Now, if Trey Hendrickson, who has said that I'm not going to be playing on this current deal, if he refuses to show up all summer and goes hardline on them, could he force a trade? Absolutely. That could happen. But I think that there have to be steps that have to be taken before we can look at a trade being viable.
Adam, this might be, well, it is premature, but how frustrated are owners with these players holding out with 2 years, like Elgton Jenkins, 2 years left on his contract? You know, Jen just mentioned Watt and Hendrickson and McLaurin. Are they going to try to address this in the next CBA where these players can't do that? I would think they'd be frustrated by it.
Chewy, they did address it in the CBA.
Yeah, but they screwed it up, though, didn't they? With
Well, hold on.
Yeah.
Okay? TJ Watt, Trey Hendrickson, Terry McLaurin, veterans who don't show up to mandatory minicamp are fined $17,462 the first day they miss, $34,925 the second day they miss, $52,381 the third day they miss. So to miss the 3 days of work for any of these veterans is $104,768. So basically $105,000. Now here's the issue. The money has gotten so great that if you're Trey Hendrickson, you're Terry McLaurin, you're TJ Watt, and you're talking about making upwards of $30 million a year, what is $105,000 in fines? That's why James Cook was there yesterday, because he hasn't made any money yet. He can't afford to just throw away $105,000. And that's why the CBA is set up the way it is, Chewy.
But I always said, Adam, there's always a loophole where I can go in, I'm not happy with my contract, and go, oh, my hamstring's tight. You play the injury card, which they do, and that gets them. Yeah, that gets them out of it.
Right, and look, we've seen that through time. And if I were a player, maybe that's the tactic I would use. But my point is that the money has become so great that the fine schedule hasn't kept up with the rise in wages. Right, the CBA was done 5 years ago, and players the top pass rusher 5 years ago, if we looked at it, was probably making $10 million. Yeah. Okay? So $105,000 at $10 million, it doesn't sound like very much, but I'm just telling you, $105,000 is still $105,000.
Yeah.
Now, $105,000 and $30 million, you're laughing. You're laughing.
Yeah.
I'm going to go send my message. I'd rather send my message and absorb the $105,000. I can do that.
Yeah.
Shefty, we're tight on time. It's the U.S. Open at Oakmont. Who you got?
Goddamn, I'm really struggling here. And Gabe, I got to tell you something. Gabe, I got to tell you something. I so badly want to ask you your opinion, but I don't want to ask you. So I'm not even like.
I lead you astray one time. That was months ago. Adam.
Okay, who do you believe? Who do you believe in? Right, I can say right now.
Scheffler.
We used Scheffler last week or two weeks ago at the Memorial, and that was a winner. So we are set up now in the second half. The four guys we're debating right now: Xander, Straka, Rahm, and Neiman. Those are our four choices. We're going to pick one of those.
I would lean towards Rahm, because I was thinking about taking Rahm myself. And, I mean, Xander's got a really good U.S. Open record as well. I got to dig into the numbers to see if he's been trending closer to the player he was last year. But I think Xander's kind of sneaky and flying under a lot of people's radar as well.
Dean Lowry.
Shane Lowry.
Oh, yeah. Dean Lowry played for the Power Pack.
By the way, Shane Lowry was the 54-hole leader at Oakmont in 2016.
I still got it.
Jen knew that.
Yeah.
Right, Jen?
You got half of it. You got the last name, and you botched the first name.
I know, but we discussed this in the first segment.
Yeah, so. He's got 75% of the info.
That was 50%, guys. Stay with me.
Adam's got to go. Bye,
he does
Adam.
Have to go. Adam, thanks for hanging with us. Have a great week.
Guys,
we'll talk to you again soon.
That's close.
I can't believe he dropped a GD.
That might be his first B.
The guy's on TV more than anyone on Earth.
I mean, he's really frustrated about the U.S. Open. I get it. Our conversations with Adam Schefter each and every week brought to you by the Highland Resort and Casino, which is a premier resort destination, the largest north of Milwaukee, with everything you'd like to do in one awesome location. I can't wait to get up there in August to play some golf, and you can book yours. Visit islandresortandcasino.com. Book your total experience today.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
He sounds like the Beatles.
What? Anyone?
This is a new one on me.
Listen to his interview, the way he talks. He sounds like Paul McCartney.
Ringo farted and it was horrible. It was absolutely horrible.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Your Brewers got a big win yesterday over the Atlanta Braves 4-1. They are 36-32, still chasing in the Central, still a little early to be scoreboard watching. You just want to keep the Cubs in your eyesight, right? Make sure that you can maintain that distance behind them. But that is not the big news coming out of AmFam Field. No, the big news, of course, is that they are bringing up, and there's a lot of excitement for this kid because of some of the situations that the Brewers have found themselves in. But the Brewers did announce that they are promoting Jacob Mizorowski, their pitcher. And Chewy, he's a 6'7". Is flamethrower fair to say, Gabe? I mean, yeah. He's got the whole arsenal of pitches. It's not just like he relies on his fastball. But when I see that he averages 98 miles per hour with his fastball, I'm thinking, whew, that'll be fun to watch. And he's supposed to make his major league debut on Thursday against the St. Louis Cardinals, who I believe the Brewers are also chasing in the division right now. What is your excitement level, Gabe, for this kid making his debut for the Brew Crew?
Oh, it should be high. Like, this is somebody who has, like, steadily climbed the ranks and has been the Brewers' highest-ranked pitcher for the last couple of years. And now he's ready to come up. They thought maybe they'd call him up as a reliever last year and kind of, you know, tamper down his innings as he continues his development. Obviously, that didn't happen. But now they're calling him up. They think he's ready. 2.13 ERA, 80 strikeouts, and 63rd and a third innings in AAA. Yeah, this dude's ready. Threw 103 mile an hour fastball on the final pitch of an outing back in May. Like, this guy, this kid's got it. And he could be somebody in the along those lines of, you know, over the last handful of years, guys that the Brewers been able to get develop in their minor league system and then have a big impact on the roster.
Love it. Another Pollock coming to the key.
Oh my goodness. My so guy. You hear the ski at the end of his name and you get all giddy.
Well, it's he's Pollock. I got to show him where all the good restaurants are in South Side.
Teach him your borscht.
I was about to say.
I cook him some borscht.
I think you should show up tomorrow in the clubhouse with some borscht for him.
Oh.
Well, you're about the only human who can look him eye to eye.
What is he, 6'8", 6'7"?
6'7".
I think it's also important for us to, this isn't just one of the top Brewers prospects, because they've snuck that by us before. Like, oh, this is one of the top guys. No, this is top in all of baseball. Mm-hmm. Like, this is one of the best kids in all of developmental leagues happening right now.
21st ranked prospect, according to Baseball America.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. And it's funny because he's dropped to third in the Brewers rankings, but that's really because Jesus Mate is just one of the top five prospects in baseball.
Well, before Joshy weed whacks us out of this segment, I got to ask you guys, like, how realistic is it to put all of your chips in the Mizorowski basket? Like, you obviously, they've got guys who have done a good job of carrying this rotation this year, but, you know, is this in part because of the Brandon Woodruff situation? Do you think they would have pulled him up otherwise, and then you would have been having Woodruff up coming back from his injury and his rehab starts, and you'd have Mizorowski up? And as a rookie, there still is a learning curve, right? Like, we don't expect him to just go out there and have immediate success, do we?
No, but, he could. We've seen, how many rookies have done that, especially pitchers, where you haven't seen a guy and they just come out and they shove in that first outing. I think the expectations are fairly high, and they can be high. He's going to be up here, I think, for the rest of the season. Because now you've passed that point where you get that, you get the super two and you can hold on to him for longer, basically, as you manipulated his service time. So he's not going to be up here, and you get the extra year on the back end with the way arbitration works in baseball. I think this is completely independent of anything that would have happened with Woodruff. This guy's 23 years old and he's ready. He's ready to be called up. He's ready to be a major league starter. And unless he struggles mightily, I think he's going to be around for the rest of the year.
This is what we expect from Golden. Golden's not going to start week one, or I'd be shocked. You know, going to sprinkle, and they're going to go, okay, now it's time to put him in the starting lineup and let him go.
You know, he might go back down. Who knows? But now it's because there is a transition getting used to the big ballparks and his juice will be flying and he might be a little outside the strike zone just because of the nerves and stuff. So quicker you get him there, the quicker he gets used to it. He gets comfortable playing there.
Which has been, so the wildness has been an issue with him. A lot of walks earlier in his career. He's cut down on that this year. Like, he's cut down on that number big time.
Yeah, it's time.
So it's just a situation where, yeah, he's 23 years old. Now is as good of a time as any. I don't know what the innings restriction is going to be on him because last year was a career high, 97 innings. So I don't know how deep they're going to allow him to go into the season, but it was just time. He's ready to go. He has dominated AAA. There's nothing else he can do down there. It's time for him to prove he belongs in the big leagues.
Every report I have read about this kid says that the long-term plan for him may be closer. You know, and you can throw 103 and, you know, triple digits, that might be the spot. Gabe, you don't see that being something that happens soon, right? You see him as a starter and then maybe transitioning to that later
on? They won't transition him later on unless they have to. Like, they thought about that last year, again, as a reliever, and that's why they, when he initially got called up to AAA, he was working out of the bullpen. But their long-term projection, they want him to be a starter. Because the starter's just that much more valuable. Having a guy like that, as we've seen. Like, it's really hard for a closer to go out and win a Cy Young. But you have a starter that you give the ball to every 5 days, then go out there and shove, like Corbin Burns used to. That's a lot more valuable.
Intimidating when you see 6'7", you said?
Oh, yeah. You got all arms and limbs. Like,
no, I know. I mean, I'm just
coming at you.
Thinking.
Yeah, just your release point. When you throw that hard and then your release point, that ball gets on top of you a lot sooner.
Yeah, Randy Johnson was pretty good.
Yeah, again, because he was just all arms and legs because he threw hard and then that ball just gets on you because the release point's all the way out here.
I even think about Chris Sale when I covered him on the White Sox year in and year out. He's a lanky guy. He kind of looks like one of those things that you see outside of the car dealerships, right? And the way that he threw the ball. The last thing I want to say before we move on here is pack the park, guys, right? I just checked on Ticketmaster. Plenty of good seats still available for this game Thursday. This is one of those things where if this guy becomes a benchmark, if he becomes the future of this organization, you're going to want to be able to say that you were there for his first major league start against the rival Cardinals. You're going to want to say, especially if he gets the win, my goodness, if he gets a quality start and they get the win, that's one of those events that you want to say I was there for. So head over to Ticketmaster, head over to Brewers.com, grab some tickets, get to the game tomorrow night, take your kids. It's a Thursday night. A lot of people are out of school now. My kids' last day of school is today. So we're going to try to get down to the ballpark. Nice. I would love to be in AmFam Field when this happens.
Yeah.
Well, no disagreement.
What do you want to push back on a guy who throws 103 making his major league debut?
I'm just saying I would like to see. I thought when I went to Ticketmaster, it would be more, there'd be fewer blue sections, if I will, you know, available seats. So I'm telling people this morning, now's your chance. Go out and grab some tickets. Take the kids out to the ballpark tomorrow so you can see this guy, so you can say, I was there. So when he becomes an all-star, when he's starting in the all-star game, you know, for the National League a few years from now, you could be like, ah, I was at his major league debut at AmFam Field when they got the win against the Cardinals. That'd be pretty cool. Go ahead, Gabe.
Let me tell you about our good friends at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Of course, we have trusted them for a long time here at ESPN Milwaukee. I have trusted them with my new house. I've got a brand new door. So if it's time to upgrade your windows and or doors, again, for me, it was a door, but you don't want to spend a fortune, Pella, who is, of course, the best in the industry, they have a product line for every budget. So many different options, so many different customizable options, but they have a product line for every budget. And right now, at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, you can get no interest and no payments for up to 2 years. So if the plan is to wait, guess what? Get it now and wait to start making payments up to 2 years later. Certain restrictions apply. Offer ends 6/30/2025. Set your free in-home consultation today. PellaWI.com. When you go to Pella Windows and Doors, Wisconsin, make sure you tell them Gabe Neitzel sent you.